All right, welcome back to another episode of Take Foul. We're coming to you on Thursday, June 27th at 4:13 p.m. We are not watching the second round of the NBA draft that is happening as we speak. Although, you know, there's still some intriguing names left there, like Kyle Filipowski, Johnny Furphy, some intriguing white boys still left on the board. But the draft happened yesterday. And I think, you know, going into this draft, this was sort of seen as a weaker one. And the depth of it is sort of, you know, can be debated, I guess. But I think, first, because this is in my, you know, something I wrote down. Zachary Risacher goes first overall to the Hawks. What was your thought on that, Mike?
I mean, like, I thought even like since the last time we talked, it was like Sar pretty locked. Then like every day, it kind of kept moving. The needle kept moving the other way. I don't know. Like, I think the Hawks got probably the best. Like, he's a good shooter from what I understand. He's a good defender, which is like fine, probably a better fit for their team.
Okay,
yeah, I guess he's a 3-and-D type of guy.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah, right. And he was like a,
that's what they say.
Yeah, again, I can't say I've watched a ton of him playing in the top league in France. I assume that they're just gonna go with like the intangibles of Sar, but I guess they felt like it was a better fit. I don't know. It's hard because Sar is not like a guy where people are like, oh, he's a must-grab guy. Like, it's not like a Wemby situation. So I feel like probably fine decision.
Yeah, there wasn't a consensus number one overall pick. And we were hearing about Sar to begin with. And then there were even talks of Klingon or Shepard going number one. So it kind of went all over the place. Ike, what did you think about Risacher at one?
Not much. I mean, on the broadcast, they like described him as like a solid 3-and-D guy, which is like,
yeah, that's all we got,
the number one overall guy, like
utility like, guy off the bench.
Like, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Go ahead. Okay. All right. Well, I'll go. The Hawks are in my losers of this draft.
They're in my losers too.
Yeah. And so like obviously like I haven't been able to sit down and watch full Zachary Risacher games. Sorry, I'm not locked in like that to the listeners. Here are some things I've heard though from people that are locked in on this stuff. He can't dribble. He has a negative wingspan. He tested horribly at like the combine in France or whatever. So he's not an athlete, or well, he's not a
not
great
an elite athlete.
Yeah. And has a negative wingspan. He's not fast. He can't jump. Very he's insane. Weak. He can't. And the big thing, he can't create his own shot, and he's not exactly a playmaker either. Our friend Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer described, in terms of player comps, he said shades of Harrison Barnes and Tobias Harris. And this is the number one overall pick. Yeah, I mean, like, yikes, dude. You know, he could be good down the line, I guess, but. You know, I've watched a little bit of tape. I think he's a larger wing. And like if some of those other things develop, then he could be, you know, he could be pretty good, and wings are important, right? So
yeah. Can I add on to what you're kind of saying there?
Go ahead.
So I also had the Hawks in my losers, but I don't necessarily think it's their fault that they're in the loser section here. Like the draft, like it wasn't super, like it wasn't 1 through 5-ish could kind of be Well, except for Ron, except for Holland. I don't know what the hell the Pistons were doing there, but 1 through 5-ish could have fallen anywhere, you know. And like I've watched a ton of Kentucky Wildcats basketball this past year, and I've bet on them a lot. And Shepard's a good shooter, but he has the same issues. He's not going to be able to create his own shots, right? He's not a very good athlete. He's a fine like on ball defender, but like he's gonna kind of fall into the same 3-and-D kind of role too, I think. You know, like I feel like it's going to be harsh. I think the only reason, like, I think Sar would have probably been the better choice because he does have the 9'8" or whatever wingspan, you know, which is just like monstrous, you know. But it just, I don't know like what decision the Hawks could have made that would have made them like a winner here with the first pick.
Yeah, it's they were in a tough position, and what's going to happen with Trae Young and DeJounte Murray remains to be seen for the rest of the offseason. So it's like, you know, where do you go from there? And this is probably historically one of the worst values for a number one pick ever, I feel like. And, you know, since like 2013 with like Anthony Bennett. So they could have moved off of it, I think. But they landed on Risacher, which maybe it wasn't this case. Maybe they actually did think he was the best player in the draft, but it still feels like they were drafting for fit rather than like taking the best guy off the board.
Which it might make sense if you're not like a typical team that is picking number one. Like they aren't that bad. You know, I don't know if that factors in this type of draft where you're a team on the brink, or not on the brink, but like on the border.
They also played no defense last year, so at the end of the year. So maybe he can help bolster that perimeter defense, but.
Ike, who's another loser for you?
Spurs.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a castle.
This is more about like just kind of having two top 10 picks, and I guess they moved one of them off, but I'm expecting the pick they got back from the Timberwolves to be bottom two in the league when it happens in 2031. And then they got a pick swap, which won't be relevant because they won't be swapping that pick. And
so
that's why
I had,
isn't it, sorry, Dallas? They isn't Dallas in the mix with that as well, with the swap in 2030?
Are they?
That's what I read.
I thought it was just, yeah, maybe, but I thought they just traded like or had the pick swap with Minnesota.
It's like they get to choose the best out option of the three. So who knows what that means.
I actually had the Spurs in my winners, my winner side. I think Castle's the best guard in the draft. I was big on Castle throughout the season for Deuton.
Okay.
I will say that they are kind of trying to bank on your guys' downfall with trading for middle schoolers, but you know, I think like it's they're going all in on the idea that I was reading something on The Ringer actually today saying that they're trying to like bank on the idea that Ant's going to be gone and you guys are going to have like a low pick at that point.
I mean, that's stupid. That's like 7 years away. I think it's more to do with like, I don't know if they want to be any better this year, which I think is kind of a stupid strategy because like Wembanyama, I think, is maybe too good to be like positioning yourself in the next draft.
But you also kind of have to think about who else were they going to kind of take in that position. They're not going to take, they were like, Rob's another point guard, but they just drafted Castle. You're going to take two.
Yeah, they aren't doing anything productive right now. Assets, assets, assets.
So you're just going to take two point guards back to back?
I think that's a better asset. You didn't have to take the point guard. You could have taken someone else. But I think that's a better asset than, like, the 2031 first rounder right now.
Yes, only time will tell what that eighth grader turns into.
Yeah, we'll see. But I wanna touch on Castle. So he played more of a wing sort of like off ball role.
Off ball, yeah.
At UConn. So but now in the pre-draft process, he's been pretty adamant about wanting to play point guard. So what do you make of that?
My understanding is that he played point guard in high school and AAU, right, and everything coming up. And then obviously you got to fit Danny Hurley's system. You can't really. So I think he just adapted to the role. I think he is pretty like – he can kind of fit a lot of different spots. And obviously in San Antonio, he'll be probably be able to play point guard if he so chooses. But yeah, I think he's pretty adaptable.
So you believe in the point guard?
Yeah, I think that's more where he's more comfortable, okay, with the ball.
Because yeah. I didn't see it. At UConn, to be honest, and like it wasn't his role, so a lot of that's like some of it's just not his fault. He was just in a pretty rigid system in a good way, you know, like the Hurley system clearly worked and he thrived in it in his sort of like off ball role. So I'm curious to see if he's capable. I think that was a huge gap for San Antonio this past season of just like
SoCon.
Yeah, like dudes that can't throw an entry pass, you know? Like yeah. that they're sort of, I mean, I again I think the spacing is a bit of a concern with Castle as well.
Why?
He's not like a shooter. He can't, you know, if he can develop like a reliable outside shot, then that'll be great, but
it yeah, might
be tough to play him and like Sohan at the four, yeah, or something like that.
Sure, I thought like that was kind of more why he would be kind of taking that point guard role, in which like he's not going to be like the spot yeah guy. But
do you think that if let's say Houston took Castle, would like Shepherd would fall to San Antonio, right?
Yeah, he would have.
And but again, I don't. Taken him. Oh well, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I.
You're not a Shepherd guy.
I think I'm not a Shepherd guy. I think the guy. I think Rob was the best guard that Kentucky had. Okay. I don't know. I rated him way above. Like he is quick. He's just as good a defender. I mean, he's not as good of a shooter, but like he can create. Like I don't know. Like I. Like, and again, like, I don't hate Shepherd, but, like, I don't think he was all, like, I rated Rob higher than I did him. I see all these guys had him, like, number two on their big boards, and I'm like, I don't know.
A lot of guys had Shepherd number one on their big boards, which is hilarious for, like, a 6'1 white dude who apparently can jump pretty high, and is, like, lights out from three, but, like... You know,
but he just didn't shoot all that. Like he shot like over 50%, but he just didn't shoot all that many.
Mm-hmm.
Like he wasn't shooting at he was shooting high percentage, but not like a high quantity of shots.
Mm.
You know, it's like he was.
Like
he averaged what, like 11.5, 12 a game,
something like that, right? He wasn't like a huge high usage yeah guy. Like you like Shepherd.
You know, represent. Top three, first American drafted, you know, white boy.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Crazy, I'm sure crazy you're times.
Talking about the nationality.
Yep, Ike's getting the jersey.
nah. I don't know. I don't like him or the Connect guy very much. You know, just a bit too much for me, you know. I don't like really the clean cut, like gelled hair guys. I like the floppy shooters, kind of more Kyle Korver type. These two, yeah, Steve less
Nash.
Athletic.
Steve Nash had a
no. Steve Nash.
I mean, I don't. Shepherd's king. Shepherd's not that great of an athlete. He can dunk, but
for
he's
6'1",
not like,
he looks like a pretty good athlete.
I think he had like a top.
We're talking speaking relative
in the combine.
right.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Who knows if it'll translate? But yeah, apparently he's an athlete.
Yeah. Seems like more of a Tyler Herro type. Not my thing.
No.
I'm saying like appearance and how he carries himself.
Shepherd?
Yeah.
I think I'm not sure about that. This guy's like a clean cut.
You think he's like a quiet... In what sense? You think he's like a quiet, reserved guy?
I don't think, kind of.
Like,
maybe...
Okay. Tyler Herro...
You've seen him at the draft kind of today?
A dorky
Tyler
look.
Herro feels like he calls people...
Nah.
Essay. No. I don't know. Something about Tyler Herro. Not.
Yeah, he's a little dorkier than Tyler Herro.
We got to move through Herro this. should we do a loser, Mike?
Yeah, I got it. The Pistons. They drafted another wing who can't shoot. They took another guy who can't shoot. Like, what? Like, I just don't understand. Begin to understand what their decision, like the process was there. I end up having to take the fifth pick, but like, they're just not doing themselves any favor.
Yeah. So a few things to back up what you just said. Ron Holland shot 44% overall, 24% from three on 3.6 per attempts per game. So it's not like he was not shooting them. He was. And he had as many turnovers as assists, 93 to 90, so actually three more. The Ignite went 2-32 with him playing, okay? And
then Jesus he tore his thumb. Christ, what?
Yeah, and then of his 99 misses, 20% of his misses, or 23 out of 99, so 20% of his misses were, quote-unquote, bad misses. So they were air balls, they hit the backboard first, or they barely grazed the rim. And on open catch and shoot threes, he shot 27%. Like wide open shots.
That's horrible.
That is really bad.
That's horrible.
That is like really, really bad. And granted, like the Ignite program, RIP, no longer exists. They were just getting their ass kicked by grown men every night, it seemed. I didn't watch any Ignite games. Well, I guess I caught a little bit of the game at the beginning of the year, or there's like a showcase thing against Alex Sarr's team, Perth.
Is that before
the Wildcats?
Or after Norris Cole got there?
Oh, at Ignite? Yeah. Norris Cole. but yeah, I'm with you, Mike. Like, you know, it sucks to be a Pistons fan and tank the whole year and have to deal with Monty Williams playing Killian Hayes a million minutes. And then both are gone, Monty Williams and Killian. But you endure that and then you get the fifth overall pick and then they take another guy that just can't shoot threes to go with Cade, who already kind of can't shoot threes, and Ivy, who kind of can't shoot threes either.
Can't shoot.
So
it's it feels like their plan is to play just AAU ball where like no one really gels. They're just gonna kind of get it and try to go off the dribble.
The plan,
which is fine. Yeah, right. It seems like they're just gonna try to lose. Like they're just gonna wait and try to get Cooper Flagg next year. Which if that's the case, I guess. More power to you, but I don't know. It just felt like a wild choice.
What's the tanking nickname for Cooper Flagg? We had the wobble for Wembanyama. What's this? The cuckold for Cooper.
C-minus on
the
that.
The crumble. Crumble for Cooper.
The crumble for Cooper. Yep, there it is.
Sorry.
The fall for Flagg.
I like that too.
Fail for Flagg.
Yeah, flail for Flagg. Okay, let's see. I had one more loser, but do you have another one?
I'm kind of confused by what the Trailblazers are up to, at least like in the draft.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Good.
I just don't like they're really stretching this whole go big thing. Like,
yeah.
I maybe like it because like maybe they'll just try and move, dominate, and try to be horrible, like especially horrible. But this doesn't set up a Scoot for success, which.
Golden Twin Towers are on your boy. What do you mean?
Well, this is three now. Like, this is more than Twin Towers
around your boy.
Bob, yeah, no. I don't think, I think Scoot likes to get to the basket. You know, I don't think he likes having three floundering assholes down there, but.
I well, like
Clinging. Yeah, I just don't understand.
I think
yeah, just get rid of Ayton, get rid of Williams. Maybe, you know, I don't know. They're probably going to be terrible again next year. I don't know.
Definitely. Yeah, I saw our friend Kevin O'Connor again tweet today that maybe Ayton could start shooting some threes and they could play together. It's kind
Ayton
of
a, would love that.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny possible. Like it's like the Wolves have Reed, Kat, and Gobert, and two of the three can shoot threes, and then the other one is defensive player of the year. And
yeah,
Portland has three dudes that just can't shoot at all.
I'm gonna clog the paint.
Yeah, I don't know who Baron Reed is.
I don't know. The Time Lord probably will get injured again, and you know,
yeah,
sort of sit out.
What's is Duop Reith? Is he still there?
Duop Reith, shooter.
Mm-hmm. Slide him in, maybe.
Yeah, no. The Duop and Klingon front court will feed families for generations.
I think either that game that I went to against the Timberwolves, where Duop Reith started, and then like four dudes who I just, well, three dudes and Scoot, who I had no idea, was like the worst game of basketball I'd ever seen played, or the Raptors game where they showed up with seven guys. Mm. Close competition.
It's incredible. Sam, that
was your loser, right?
Yeah, I just had Klingon as a loser, and it so it ties into this. There's so much momentum around Klingon heading into the draft, and he was talked about and going top three. Even there's some talks of him going first overall to the Hawks. And then he dropped to seven. And like Charlotte took Tejende Salun over him, who admittedly I'm not locked in on. And I guess that you know they have Mark Williams, you know, and they like him, so I sort of get that, but yeah, to drop to seven and then essentially realistically he's a backup behind Dominaten. So I fit wise it's tough when he potentially could have been catching lobs from Trey, you know. So I don't think it changes the money very much, but that's a loser for me.
I had one more loser.
Go ahead.
Overly masculine dudes in Philly. Cuz I'm already seeing a lot of angry dudes online about Jared McCain. And I think Jared McCain's going to be pretty good. I like Jared McCain.
I love Jared McCain.
Yeah, and people are just really mad that he paints his fingernails and does dances on TikTok. And it's nuts. I think he's really good.
Yeah.
Never understand how grown men can be so mad about the color of another man's nails. And it's just like, it's mind-boggling. Like, you're projecting to a crazy level. But
yeah.
I think it was a good pick from Philly. I think that's actually, I think it's pretty solid move on there. But you know, any thoughts on Jared? None.
He seems like a bitch.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, that has more to do with where he went to college. But...
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Thank you, Ike. For
not a Duke guy. Not a Duke guy.
I saw you guys send some TikToks or something. don't have the app, so I wasn't able to look into that.
Blissfully unaware. Let's move to winners. Ike, you want to start?
I already kind of brought it up. Minnesota Timberwolves avoided having to sign a free agent who was, or I guess they circumvented having to like deal with a ton of money problems by adding someone who can contribute without going into like insane cap hell. Yeah, I guess I have another one, but
I also had the Wolves as the winner. I think you guys filled kind of the gap that you were seeing in the playoffs. And I also think whenever you're in a position where you're trading middle schoolers, that means you're like all the way in as you can possibly be, which I think, you know, like that's a good sign, right? You're ready to go at it now.
Yeah. I think, I think Nick Young tweeted a few weeks back, like, that the Wolves should run it back and just grab someone like Jordan Clarkson. And I was like, wow, yeah, Jordan Clarkson would be amazing, but I don't think there's like a realistic way.
Feasible.
Yeah, I don't think there's a realistic way we could go grab Jordan Clarkson. And I'm so scared of Danny Ainge. And and we got Rob Dillingham, who's, you know, kind of like a younger version of that. You know, there's some questions around his ball hoggery at OTE. He showed less of that at Kentucky. But OTE, it's like, it's not a real...
What it is, yeah.
It's not a That's serious pickup. Place, you know. So he was obviously just going to shoot every time he touches the ball at an unserious place like that. So
went to Donda.
Went where?
Donda Academy.
Oh, right.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, another unserious place. He did, yes.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. That might not be a good sign.
Yeah, well, you know, Jaylen Brown was signed to Donda Sports, you know.
Yeah.
There's some decent products coming out of the Donda. The Donda
tangentially
verse.
Toss Kyrie into that
line. Yeah, I think Kyrie's
similar
on that as well.
Viewpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Another winner, Mike?
The Thunder. Man, the OKC Thunder, their front office just does magic things in these drafts. They took my number one on the big board.
Topic.
Yeah.
Wow.
He got hurt and he just dropped crazy. Like, he tore his ACL in April and now he's dropped like he went entering this year, he was a top three pick and he dropped a lot. And I don't think like his play has shown anything that would like say that he shouldn't still be a very high draft pick. Especially because he's not like a crazy athlete. He's more of like an angles guy and probably the best pick and roll ball handler in the whole draft.
Entering this year, Ron Holland was number one for listeners.
Yeah.
On the big board for a lot of people.
On who? Not my big board. Not mine.
Fair enough. Okay, yeah. Cool. You're a Topic guy. That's interesting.
I love Topic. Yeah,
have you heard his voice?
Kind of. I've not. Is it funky?
I'm gonna pull it up. Keep talking.
Yeah, like again, like, and even if he doesn't necessarily play this year or like come out at the start of the year, I do think that's a great piece to have around guys like Chet and SGA.
You know, he's like, Serbian Giddy.
I think it's pretty dangerous.
Yeah, it seems low risk.
Whoa. Yeah, he is that's an easy replacement for Josh Giddey.
Well, he probably won't play this year.
Like, yeah.
Well, that's okay.
No, yeah, I don't know if they're even planning on it. They don't really.
Yeah. No, they don't.
Well, yeah, they're able to like take a chance in a weird draft on something.
Okay, quickly.
Outside of basketball, what sport are you the best at?
Soccer. Yeah, I was practicing soccer before I played basketball.
Yeah.
So I was decent at it, but I mean, just I wanted to play basketball, and that's
sounds like he should look like Boba. Like
an ogre.
The tweet is, he sounds like when they mask a voice to protect their identity. This is pretty good. Okay. Topic. Should we have the Bulls conversation now that we've sort of invoked the Thunder?
Okay, yeah, I'll just talk
about it. I actually had the Bulls in my winner. Buzelis was sort of like talked about to be a top three guy going into this year. Another guy, including Holland, that had a tough year with G League Ignite, but looked really good coming out of high school. And I think that, you know, when there's a little less pressure on you, I think you are able to shoot better as well. So I think that the jump shot will come back for Buzelis, and there's a lot of like good tools physically as well that I saw from him. And he fell, you know, and he dropped to 11. So I think it's a good fit, generally, but
yeah, when they came up and both, I knew it was going to be him or Connect, right? Like it was going to be one of those two, and them taking the younger guy with more probably upside, I think shows that they're ready to move on to like a more youthful movement. And I think that kind of is showing that DeRozan's probably going to be gone, you know, which is fine. You know, like that's, mm-hmm. It's time for that. And with the Giddy trade and moving Caruso, you know, I did think we would probably could have gotten at least like a second rounder in there. I don't know what like the conversations were like, so I was kind of surprised we didn't. But if Giddy can play like he played prior to the incident, you know, that would be wonderful. And we're surrounding like a strong running Kobe White, the strong young core. Maybe we get if. This Lithuanian, I guess he's not Lithuanian, he's just from Chicago. I thought he was like from Lithuania. He's just from Chicago. This kid, if he can find his jump shot again, I think it could be all right. I did want Connect though. I did want Dalton because I know more about Dalton, but I'm open to this. Feels like we're moving in a direction that might be positive.
Ike, you like Buzelis?
Yeah, I don't know what he's crying about, but you know.
Got drafted in the NBA.
I guess he got picked by the Bulls, so maybe I get it.
Now we're just being.
Yeah, I don't know. High ceiling, I guess. Seems like in this draft, if you're picking around where they were, that if you can get a guy with a seemingly high ceiling, then that's the right thing to do. But yeah, I don't know.
Chicago homegrown kid.
I think if he shot like a little bit better from three,
yeah,
then I don't see how he's that different from Risa Shea, just as a having similar tools.
He's a good athlete though, right? Like is another thing I was
beginning.
He's like a tremendous athlete. Like that's what people are saying. Like very good athlete. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Again, I didn't watch any G League Ignite play their game.
I drafted him once. He was a pretty good athlete. Seemingly.
There you go.
2K22 Hawks.
Yeah. Yeah, good player.
I think so. The Bulls should not re-sign DeMar DeRozan, and then I think should move off of LaVine as well.
How do they do that? What's the path to do that,
dude? It's like. At this point, his value is so low, they have to, like, bundle picks to send him out, which is crazy. But it's just...
Also, like, you see a report, I think, like, last week that they've shopped him to, like, 25 different teams.
No one wants it. Yeah. No one wants it.
Also,
good
like,
leverage,
where's
guys.
That...
Way to let that leave.
Yeah, is that coming from the Bulls? Like,
I mean,
yeah,
how
is that coming like, from? Like, is
they called 20 different teams and like, did they approach LaVine or did they approach you about LaVine? Like,
someone's just sitting there calling up all the front offices.
No, it's true. That's certainly possible. But yeah, I think that's the they're moving in the right direction finally, and making some actual trades and moves and stuff that
I saw reports about if Paul George leaves DeRozan to the Clippers. Just like,
yeah, there like, there does seem to be like a weird merry-go-round of like Butler, George, LeBron, and DeRozan of like, you know, obviously the ability sort of fluctuates with DeRozan being on the lower end and, you know, probably LeBron on the upper end of that. But like, if people just keep on trying to plug them into like the same teams, like with the Lakers, like what if we just flip Paul George and LeBron? It's like, okay. And like,
yeah,
does that make either dramatically better? Not sure. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Anything else on the Bulls?
Nope. No.
Over under win projection. Without knowing. I was thinking about that.
We might not be in the play-in, and the Lonzo watch is it's. Yeah, I don't see him playing in their basketball game.
Yes.
Do the Wolves keep this 37th pick?
No, they sent it to Detroit. No.
Okay.
And we got rid of Wendell Moore.
They drafted a Swedish dude.
Got rid of Wendell Moore?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was huge.
Sent him to
I think I saw him play like one time.
Yeah, I saw him play at the the TC. Yeah. And I was and he like crossed the shit out of someone and like ripped a three, and I was like, oh, this guy could be good. And, that was 2 years ago, I think.
He'll be out of the league after this year.
Sentenced to Detroit. As many are. Okay, yeah, I guess quickly, last thing from me, Dalton Connect falls to 17 to the Lakers. I think he's really good, and I'm not super thrilled that he falls to the Lakers. Because I, you know, as someone that I've deemed really good before the draft, I've been sort of cheering for him, I think. And now it's going to be so inflated with like the white boy Laker hype.
And you love Austin Reeves too.
I know, dude, and I like Austin Reeves, but again, it's like, I think there's he gets put into conversations that he shouldn't be sometimes? Yeah, I do. You know,
The tweets have been hilarious though about him and Austin Reeves together. Columbine, that was crazy. That was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, DK, is there a DK gun?
Rifle? Certainly.
We have AR-15 already.
Yeah, Austin Reeves probably knows.
He knows.
Fucking heck.
All right. Any other winners you want to touch on before we talk Bridges?
The Boston Celtics. It seems like the West just keeps getting better, and the East is just going to kind of stay not very good. You know, I don't think it just feels like the West is going to continue to be this like onslaught of really talented teams, and then you have the East not being great. And I guess we'll talk about Bridges in a second, but
yeah. This sort of ties in. Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll talk Bridges. So the New York Knicks trade 5 first round picks, 4 of which are unprotected, to the Nets. There's a swap in there. There's a second going out. There's a second coming in, you know, regardless, a shit ton of fucking picks, for Mikal Bridges. Now quintet of Villanova players is complete. unfortunately, Omari Spellman could not join them. But
okay, sucks.
But they are they're complete now, and you know, I think it goes without saying that this is a huge overpay for a player. We're not used to this happening with a player that has never made an all-star team, probably won't make an all-star team, an elite role player, like cream of the crop role player. But usually we see this kind of transaction go for, you know, some of the top tier talent in the league. So I guess, Ike, what was your first reaction when you saw this trade?
I guess, like, the very first reaction is obviously just like, yeah, that's fun, you know, like fun Villanova thing. But yeah, I don't think my first reaction is like, oh, wow, like, that's scary. Like, it's like, yeah, they got better. I think they're still within the same, like, spot or two, like, 2-4 in the East. Like, at, yeah, it does seem like a big overpay. I like that the Nets are, like, kind of recouping everything that they've lost from, like, horrible negotiations over the years. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it makes the Knicks better, and I understand why they did it, but I don't have a huge, like, scared, shocked reaction.
Mike? Yeah, I agree with Ike pretty completely. It's like, I don't know, it's now all come full circle with like those memes about Mikal Bridges, like the Squidward meme with Patrick and SpongeBob running outside, you know, and all his friends are there and he's stuck in Brooklyn. But at the same time, like, you put this team in the West and they're still like the sixth best team in the West, you know, like they could see them getting like the 2 seed or whatever again, but like, I don't think this team is like really all that much better now that they got Bridges. I do think it's good business from the Nets after the what happened with like it started with the KG and Paul Pierce trade, right? When they sent
that's sent the original catastrophe that just gave the Celtics a championship. Yeah,
so now like you gotta recoup those losses.
The Kevin Durant, James Harden.
Yeah. Time to restack those picks, but yeah, I don't know. I think it's I think it's better for the Nets than it is for the Knicks in reality.
Okay, yeah, I mean, so with this trade, the Nets made another transaction where they sent over the Suns picks to Houston to get back their own picks. And therefore we're fully able to
That makes it like actually matter, like that they're tanking.
Exactly. Now they're fully able to flail for flag.
They're in it.
And
workshopping.
We're still workshopping that. And
we gotta jump on this early though before other people do.
Here's the thing. So I've been thinking about this trade from a value perspective, and because we all know that Mikal Bridges isn't as good as Kevin Durant, right? That goes without saying. With that being said, he's younger. They fill similar holes. Kevin Durant does it better in every capacity. But they fill similar holes, and Mikal Bridges is on a wildly better contract than Kevin Durant. So from an asset perspective, there you could make an argument that 27-year-old Mikal Bridges is a better asset because of his contract compared to Kevin Durant.
But would you? Like, in reality?
Yeah, I think that...
You'd rather trade all that if you're the Knicks. You'd rather have Bridges around that team than like KD. Kevin Durant, if you're going for it like right now, like they are.
We'll see, right? Because like they have part of what makes Bridges so great is that he's able to play off ball, and there's a bit of like a black hole-ness to Kevin Durant. Just from
sure. Like with the Warriors, you know.
Yeah. I just
feels a little harsh.
I guess. I mean, I just that's sort of what I remember from the Wolves series is kind of like watching a lot of KD.
But they didn't. Right. They didn't have like a facilitator who you'd like.
No.
Let like go at the defense and then like play off of that. Besides, yeah. I wouldn't say Booker was that. Yeah.
So for the flexibility that the Bridges contract with his talent gives you, I think it is a decent piece of business. And another thing that the Nets just proved is that, like, low-key, you can get your picks back. The picks will come and go. You know, and the other kind of interesting angle. And the other interesting angle to this is like, okay, does this inflate the price of, like, if Giannis was to ask out, is now Giannis going to go for 10 first round picks?
I guess it's
time. Which I don't think so. I don't think so, actually. I think it'll be a comparable price. You don't think
price. It has any impact on the. On the market, like,
I don't think it does. I actually don't think it does, because people thought that the Gobert thing was going to have a profound impact on the price of stars moving forward. And you know, we saw Siakam get moved for less, and I guess that's sort of like the.
But Gobert, I don't know. Would you not rate Gobert's importance to a team higher than Pascal Siakam's?
Yeah, I would, but I'm not sure if everyone would.
I personally would, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could maybe point to this deal as like an indicator that maybe it's slightly inflated. Yeah. Like, this is like a Hall of Fame level, like, haul in the past, like, even with Gobert. Like, usually you get a player who's like a future Hall of Famer for this amount. But I don't know. Yeah, it is kind of one of those things where, like, you pay what you pay to get the player that you know that you want. And, like, getting the player that you want into your system and, like, someone that you fit perfectly is, like, the way – is, like, a good business. Like, sure. The bad way to do it is doing it for some superstar who doesn't fit in, or, like, overpaying because they're a superstar.
Yeah, and that is a good point, because I don't think there's a much better fit than Bridges to the Knicks, obviously, with, like, the history he has with the players, and then, and none of them are big ego guys, and that's kind of a good fit for Tom.
Especially when they're around each other, too.
Yeah, and I think if they potentially, you know, like, let's say, just in a vacuum, they trade for Paul George, right, who's older, who's a lot more injury prone. That's the other thing about Bridges. He plays every fucking game.
Yeah, that was a crazy stat I read yesterday about, like, he hasn't missed a game
since,
like,
high school.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Which is incredible, you know? And Fibs is just salivating. Like, he's drooling all over himself. Like, sure. Fibs, wipe up your fucking saliva.
He's got a new challenge, dude. He's going to break Bridges.
Along with this, so basically right now New York is at $169 million with the OG Anunoby extension, which was a five-year $212.5 million contract for the Knicks, and it includes a player option and a kicker, a trade kicker. So right now the Knicks are at $169 million. The tax is at 172. The first apron is at 179, and the second is going to be at 190. So if they are to re-sign Hartenstein, they will most likely go over the first apron, which I think they are comfortable with. With that being said, we don't know. And Hartenstein, if they aren't exactly in a situation where they can overpay for Hartenstein.
Yeah. I feel like the indicators.
They got to pay his black
ass. He's leaving.
No, it seems like he does want to stay.
Well, it does, but like, I don't know. It's just like all the stuff I've seen online is like indicated that it's going to be really hard unless he does like really, really want to stay.
Yeah.
Because like teams can overpay and they can't.
But he also seems like a guy who just wants to like be somewhere he wants to be, kind of. It's kind of the more vibe,
yeah, until it's like $40 million.
That's true. But like, I don't think he'll have like, I feel like he produced well because of like the system he was in New York and like the way that he's kind of worked really hard.
Yeah. He's a great, like he fits really well with Thibs. And, although I think he'd be a good fit on the Thunder, you know, New York City to Oklahoma City is, I don't know if there's like a more drastic shift than that. But, you know, yeah. We'll see. I think another thing I wrote down is the power of love and friendship versus autistic Missoula analytic math ball, which will be the Eastern Conference Finals next year, most likely.
We're ready for a great clash.
And I am on the side of the power of love and friendship. Let me just tell you.
No. No.
You're wrong. I wish.
Lesser version. Yeah, no.
I wish you were right, Sam, but it's terrible.
Yeah, you know, all this like...
Tibbs is also, let's not put him on that.
He is, yeah.
Spectrum, so to say.
All right.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that'll be the...
Man collects stamps. Man has a stamp collection.
Okay, yeah, no, Tibbs, I was not familiar with their game. All right. What else were we going to talk about?
JJ Redick.
One other thing before we talk about Redick. I just got a very unfortunate text that someone is comparing the Bulls' first round draft pick. They're saying that his NBA comp is Hedo Turkoglu, which would really, really be a bummer.
I don't think that's...
Wait, Gonzalez?
That's what like a really good athlete.
That's what I thought too. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but that's what they're saying on Bleacher Report.
Prime Turkoglu?
Fuck you, don't mention that.
Yeah.
Prime Turkoglu was a problem.
2008 Hedo?
Yeah, didn't he go to the finals?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he was good, but I don't...
Most improved player, I think, that year.
So it goes. All right, I guess a quick few notes on JJ Redick. JJ Redick is the new coach of the Los Angeles Lakers after a bunch of weird shit happened with Dan Hurley and a cold war between Shams and Woj. He had a press conference. He swore a few times, which, you know, ignited some of the weirdest discourse I've ever seen on sports Twitter. Sometimes I forget there's so many, like, old conservatives that are like sports pundits, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a clip of Colin, and I think a lot of people just hate JJ Redick in general. I saw a clip of Colin Cowherd saying like, you know, JJ Redick has to turn his hat around. He's wearing a backwards hat on his podcast.
Well,
Colin Cowherd does Cowherd's it all. He hates when people wear backwards hats.
That's it's been his thing for like 6 years ever since.
He's dying on that
Mayfield
hill.
Wore a backwards hat and called him a backwards hat type of guy.
Incredible. Yeah. No, he keeps on inventing new slurs, dude. Did you see that clip of him talking about how like Luka and Jokic are like these cerebral Europeans and I'm gonna take those guys over the windmill dunk guys any day of the week. I was like, Jesus windmill Christ, bro.
Called me the N-word, dude. Yeah.
Coward's also like a guy who I'm like to the utmost extent is like throw a dart at a board and choose your take that morning. Yeah, like yeah. He like doesn't remember what he said yesterday.
I do have one issue with like the what came out with the hiring of JJ. They're just him and LeBron are lying when they're saying they've never talked about.
Do you see that they're also saying that Anthony Davis was the one fueling this coaching search? Like they're going three steps over that. Like
that's insane. Yeah. Like we all know how this went down. You hear that, like at that least be on it.
At the presser,
yeah.
So oh yeah, like, that was funny.
Talk about the coach. He's like,
oh brother,
this fucking guy,
shameless lying.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. I think
over under 1.5 years for JJ Redick at the Lakers.
I'll go 2 years. Yeah. Over, I guess.
Yeah, 2.5, I think I'd hit the under, actually. But, you know, whatever. I also think it's kind of funny that, like, people are like, oh, he's a podcaster and now he's a coach. It's like, well, there's actually been a ton of, like, former players that stepped right into the head coaching positions. And then, like, Pat Bev being like, he opened it up for all of us, bro. Like it's like, no, it's like Pat. You're not gonna be a coach, Pat. Like,
chill out, bro. The image of like his coaching resume is like fourth grade volunteer coach, Lakers. That is, I do like that. That is pretty funny.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens with JJ. I did find the cursing a little bit like
forced,
rehearsed.
Yeah. Rehearsed, yeah. Sort of kind of cringe.
Well, it's just like you know you're going to get that question, and you obviously have been thinking about what you're going to say.
Yeah, and the other part of it, I can't remember who said this, but it was like, when you say, I don't fucking care about the outside noise, then you really fucking care about the outside noise. Like, not fooling anyone. It doesn't
fucking mean shit.
Yeah, it's like, okay, bro. You know?
He also is the outside noise. He was a podcast. He is like the outside noise.
Yeah. Did you? That was the other thing that came from that presser where he was like, "Oh, I thought it was interesting being in the engagement farming industry." And it's like, okay, you know.
Now you turn.
He was always been.
Now he's better than us.
Railing against. You know, the media or whatever while being in the media. Now he can really rail against the media. I don't know. I actually sort of liked JJ Redick at the beginning of his media career, and they sort of became
slowly insufferable. Yeah, I used to listen to his podcast. Yeah, it used to be, or it became like just a stand against like everything, like just like casualty, like, or just anything casual or like anything that isn't completely tuned in or going how he thinks it should, like, just also, like
Mike Breen's never gonna speak to him again.
Thank you for bringing that up. That's the other angle of this that I think is under discussed is it used to be so at the beginning they get rid of Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, they bring in Doc Rivers and Doris Burke with Mike Breen to be their premier finals covering team. Doc Rivers goes and becomes a coach. They fill in with J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick, gone. Like, ESPN, kind of in shambles.
Yeah, bad at hiring.
Stepping stone to coaching jobs, maybe.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I guess, like, Legler, maybe, to fill that role. Fuck it, Hubie back. Brown.
Yeah, bring it back. Just run it back with Van Gundy, man. I know.
Like
you actually have an excuse to do it.
Van Gundy's a assistant for the Clippers now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You can't pull him away from that.
And Mark Jackson's like making motivational TikToks, if you guys have been tapped in on that.
No.
Remember how homophobic he is? That's what we talked about. That dude hates gay people.
Yeah, in San Francisco, that was tough.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't a great culture fit for the Bay Area.
Yeah.
So it goes. All right, wrap us up.
I had one more loser from the NBA draft.
Oh.
It was Russillo mentioned it, but Gilbert Arenas. Like just the top or four or whatever out of the top six picks being European or whatever.
Oh yeah.
tough night for Gilbert.
That man's never been right. It has never
once been correct. Oh, no, yeah, disaster, man.
Should have shot him in the locker room. They had the chance.
All right. Yep, Mike, let's wrap it up, bro. No, we're wrapping it up. We're done.
Oh, okay. All right.